before we even get into our message this morning. This is like the pre-message message. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So that was on the forefront of my mind, and then we sing Victory in Jesus. And in verse 2 it says, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, caused the blind to see. Look at this. And then I cried, Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow, Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Man, praise the Lord for the victory in Jesus Christ. That was just about all I could handle right there. That was good. Not a lot of sure things in this world outside of the Word of God. If man is involved in it, it's not a sure thing. You know that? We break promises, not on purpose. We have maybe every intention. I called a place yesterday, set up an appointment to have something done on our car this afternoon real quick. And they called me. They said, the boss didn't know what he was doing, and he overbooked us, and we're going to have to reschedule. All right, great. I couldn't make it anyway, so it worked out good anyways. As much as we try, we try and keep our promises. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He never goes back on his promises. And we are thankful for that. All right, maybe it could. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. It is good to be a child of the King. It is good to be saved. Look at these great verses here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any... Can you turn on my mic? Sorry. I mean, I'm loud, but... There we go. Thank you. Now can you turn down a little? All right. Very good. Feast or famine here. All right. Great. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Maybe we didn't hear it right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, isn't it good in Jesus Christ we can start all over again? We are a new creature. Old things are gone. Say, what old things? All that I was before Christ. All my messed up desires, all my messed up will, all my sin forgiven. Praise the Lord. New creature. New creature. As Christians, something changed in us. The thing that did not change, though, is our location. Although we are a new creature, we still live in the same place, Jacob. I look different than when I got saved. That was 32 years ago. About the same height, but a little bit different. If you didn't get a chance to wish Matt Humby a happy birthday yesterday, 40 yesterday. Whoa, 40. Praise the Lord. Doesn't look a day over 40. Okay. There's some things that didn't change. Maybe you trusted Jesus Christ on Sunday, and then Monday you went back to the same job. Maybe you lived in the same house, even had the same contacts in your phone. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, look at these verses. This is an introduction. We're going somewhere with it. So, just hold on a second, and we'll get there. The Bible says, for he looked for a new city, which hath the foundation, whose builder and maker is God. See, although I still live here, sometimes people ask, where are you from? Well, I grew up on the east side of town, but I got married, moved on the west side of town, and pretty much lived in the greater Rochester area all my life. I don't know if Hamlin is considered greater Rochester, but it's the closest small city to us. And that's kind of where I grew up. But I'm looking forward to a place.
I'm looking forward to a place that I am going to call home for all eternity. It's called heaven. And I'm looking forward to that place. Our house was built in around 1850. Say, that's so cool. So cool until you have to do repairs. So cool until you drop a marble on one side of the house and then it ends up in the bathroom somehow. Cool until you try and frame anything out. Cool until you try and replace the electric and you get electrocuted. Oh yeah, it's cool and all, but I am thankful that this is not my final resting place. I am looking forward to some place. The Bible describes it here, a place not made by man, whose maker is God. But I've been saved. I've been changed from the old man into a new man. That doesn't make sense. We usually go from new to old. God took the old man, did away with it, made us a new creature. I'm a new person. And I have a new destination, but I still have my current residency. John chapter 17 will describe this for us. John chapter 17. Although all these things are true, the truth of the matter is, I still have to live here on this world. I don't know how many days, I don't know how many minutes, I don't know how many more breaths I have. God knows that. But until then, I'm to reside in this place. A place that is, quite honestly, quite contrary to what I am now. John chapter 17, verse 14 says this, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them. Look at, this is so very important. We are not to leave this world. See, if we were to trust Christ and God would immediately pull us up into heaven, I would say, okay, that's the destination, that's the plan. I'm not supposed to be here. But I trusted Jesus Christ as a 10-year-old, and he left me here. And he said this, though, but he made a way to keep evil away. That's his desire. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. The Bible says in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he gives us this great truth, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So let's recap. I'm lost without Christ, bearing the consequences of sin, and then I meet Jesus Christ. Changes my life. There's still consequences to sin, but they're not eternal. Made me a new creature, new desires, new will, new set of everything, except residency. Now, I am promised a home in heaven one day, and I am looking forward to that. I am looking forward to seeing streets made of gold. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine Jesus Christ somehow situated in the center of this new Jerusalem and all of his glory filling the place with light. Can't imagine. Can't imagine doors as big as gates that are so tall made of precious stones. An emerald the size of a gate. Can't even imagine. Say, why can't you imagine that? Have you seen our parking lot? That's what I think about with roads. As beautiful as the building is, if you look close, we got some cracks. That's what I think of. That's where I live. And although I am looking forward to that place, I am still here. I am still in this world. So I'm going to ask this question. How can the Christian live in the world? How am I supposed to live here? How am I supposed to work and shop and eat and interact and maybe even entertain? How am I supposed to live here? We're going to look at two people here today. Both had the same job. Genesis chapter 19. We're We're going to look at two characters here this morning that will help us answer these questions. Before we read Genesis 19, let's take a moment and just pray for the remainder of the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just need you. We need your word to come alive to us. God, help us to see us in these passages. Help us to understand these things. Lord, help us to see our life through these examples that you set forth. We know that every word of God is pure and it has purpose. And Lord, I pray that we would it would accomplish its purpose here today. Lord, may I be just a mouthpiece of your thoughts. May I just be a mouthpiece of your ways, Lord. Lord, keep me out of the way. God, I pray you'd meet all the needs that are here today like only you can. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So how do I make sense of that? Well, we have a character here in Genesis chapter 19. His uncle was Abraham. This is Lot. Abraham. One of, if not the patriarch of the Bible. If there was one patriarch of the Bible, we could say it would have been Abraham. Abraham has a son, Isaac. Isaac has Jacob, and then out of Jacob comes all of Israel. Abraham has a nephew. Abraham, for the most part, walks with the Lord. Great steps of faith. God moves him. God, we remember, God says, I want you to go. And he says, where? He says, I'll let you know when you get there. And bring Lot with you. So Lot got to see all of this. Lot started in the house of Abraham. Lot got to see the transition in Abraham's life. Lot got to see Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. He got to see all that. He was privy to all that. He saw God's hand in Abraham's life. Well, it got to a point where God was blessing so much, they just couldn't coexist in the same place. And they, both Abraham and Lot, came and sat down together and said, my guys are fighting with your guys, and this ought not so to be. Let's kind of part ways. Let's go. Which way do you want to go? And Lot looks around, and he looks this way, and he looks that way, and he says, I'll go that way. And Lot, the Bible says in chapter 19 and verse 1, and there came two angels, and Lot settles down in a little city called Sodom. Well, originally he was outside of the city of Sodom. Now we find him inside. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. This was not just he sat by the door. He was one of authority. He had a job working in Sodom. He would control who came in and who went out. Exports, imports. It was a highfalutin job. It was one of prestige. It was one of importance. It was one of protection. And here we find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. Any problem with working in a city? No problem. Well, there's desires. And in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. If you're familiar with what's happening here, two angels are coming to scope out the place because God is about to rain down fire on this city and its sister city called Gomorrah. Why? Because of their great sin. A worldly place. An awful place. A wicked place. We know Lot's testimony. It's not a good testimony. Lot loses his entire family. He gave up on what he was taught. Say, well, that city, it's just wickedness. And I agree. I agree. There was evil and wickedness. If we read Genesis chapter 19 and the things that were going on there, we can maybe even parallel it to what's going on in our world and just say, that's outright wickedness and God is not happy or pleased with any of it. But that was no excuse for Lot to leave his faith. There's never an excuse that's right that will justify you walking away from what is right and what is true. Say, well, he's sitting in the gate. What do you expect from him? Daniel chapter 2. We're going to compare two characters this morning. Lot and Daniel. Say, well, that's not fair. Come on. Daniel, he's Daniel. I mean, he sees the image. He slept with lions. And come on. They're not comparable. Daniel chapter 2. Did I tell you chapter 2? Remind me again, where did Lot live? Sodom. Good city or bad city?
Bad.
How do we know it's bad? Well, go visit Sodom today. Say, where is that on the map? Gone. God lit the place up on fire. And the sister city, Gomorrah. They couldn't find 10 righteous people in the entire two cities. God destroyed it because of their evil, wicked sin. Daniel chapter 2. And King Nebuchadnezzar, where was King Nebuchadnezzar the king of? Anybody know? Babylon. Good city or bad city? Very bad. Daniel finds himself in the city of Babylon, which I would dare say rivals the wickedness of even Sodom and Gomorrah, out of which have come countless false religions, countless wickedness. The things that were happening in this place was idolatry and contrary to the things of God. And here we find Daniel in Babylon. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Look at this. Verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48. Did I not tell you what verse to go to? I just read 46 and 47. 48 is the important verse, so I'm glad you're there. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs in the province. The province of Babylon. But Daniel, what did he do? Sat in the gate of the king. Same job as Lot. Did the exact same thing. Found himself in a place truly that he did not belong. Much like you and I, finding ourselves in a place that we do not belong. It is not license to walk away from our faith. How are we to live in this world, but yet not be of this world? I think Daniel gives us some good pointers. Daniel kept the things together and got blessings from the Lord. Daniel received, look at Daniel chapter 9 quickly. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20. Jump down to verse 22. He's having a conversation with Gabriel, just for sake of time. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel received understanding and skills like none before him. Even though his position was one seated at the gate of the king, he was doing what Lot did. What's the difference? Both held the same job. Both came from similar upbringing. So how did Daniel, sweet Daniel, get placed into Babylon. His country was taken captive by the Babylonians. They came in and they took the choice young men and brought them into captivity into Babylon. They destroyed Jerusalem over probably three waves of captivity. And here young Daniel is all by himself, all alone in wicked Babylon, seated at the gate of the king. There are some things that a Christian can take from the comparison of these two men to help us get along here on earth. See, not everyone gets to go to a Christian college. Not everyone gets to work in a Christian setting. I have a blessing. Every day we start our day here at school with a staff meeting, just about every day. I'd say about 95% of the time, right, Ms. Calpe? Am I saying true? All right. 95% of the time, somewhere around the 8 o'clock hour, depending on circumstances, we have staff devotions, we pray. Anybody else get to work in an environment like that? Brother Martinez, is that how it goes at work for you? Not exactly. And I understand that. Not everyone gets to live in a Christian home. I understand that. Some of you are seated at the gate of a wicked place. The question is, are you going to be Daniel or are you going to be Lot? Say, is it circumstances that dictate it? Both had the same circumstances. So what changed? How did Daniel outlast three kings in doing right, and Lot, whose wife turns to a pillar of salt, lives in such decadence and wickedness that we'll look at it in a few minutes? What's the difference? Choices. Choices. Choices that you and I can make each and every single day. Daniel chapter 6. Point number one. Daniel chapter 6. Say, point number one, do you see what time it is? The majority of the message was introduction. I promise you. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into the house and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. See, what happened was there were some people that trying to find fault with Daniel, and they couldn't. They couldn't find a fault with him. Brother Rice, they examined his life. They watched him privately, and they couldn't find a mistake with him. Say, was Daniel perfect? No, he just lived wisely. So they said, they came and they said, the only way we're going to trip this guy up is if we catch him on his love for God. So they said, how about we do this? No one can pray to anybody outside of King Darius. All right, let's do that. Well, they knew Daniel each and every day was faithful to praying. So here comes the law. No praying only to the false king. No praying to anybody. And here we are, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Say, man, he is flaunting it. He goes over to his house, opens up the windows, faces Jerusalem, gets down on his knees. Say, Daniel, couldn't you use the prayer closet that day? Those that pray in secret, God will reward openly. Hey, Daniel, it's in there. But the Bible says this. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. It's so important, these next words. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Hey, Christian, no reading your Bibles. Well, bless God. Hey, sweetheart, where's my Bible? Get it out of that box. They told us I can't read my Bible. I'm bringing my Bible to church. I'm bringing my Bible to work. Hey, decree goes out throughout the land. No praying. Oh, man. Where's that fleece? Get. What? From now on, we're praying before service. And from now on, we're praying before bed. Why, Dad? Because they said we can't. No, that's not what happened here. He did this aforetime. How do you keep the faith? How do you live in the world but not of the world? You be faithful to the faith. Daniel still prayed. See, Lot forgot who he was. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 warns us. Don't forget that Jesus Christ saved you. We were looking at, Titus chapter 3 today in our young adults class. And he says, I'm just going to keep repeating that you need to be saved and live godly. And I'm going to say it over and over and over again. Be faithful to the faith. Well, times are tough. Circumstances are hard. I live in a wicked place. Live right in a wicked place. Be faithful to the faith. That's what Daniel did. Even though the law came and said no more praying, he says, I'm just going to keep doing what I have always done. Unfortunately, so many times in our life, it's not till someone tries to take a liberty away do we demand it. Hey, Christian, be faithful to your Bible reading. Don't wait till they say, no Bibles at work, no Bibles here. Be faithful to reading it. Be faithful to praying. Be faithful to church. I'm telling you, if the governor came out and said, not that he's going to do this, I'm just saying if our governor was like King Darius and said, no church, man, this place would be packed out. Why? Tell me I can't. I'm going in. Hi, what's your name? I don't know who you are. How about this? Just keep doing what you're doing right. Be faithful to the faith. That's how you live. That's how you live in the world, but not be of it. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. This is when Daniel's brought over. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Neither he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Bible says that Daniel, long before the decision ever was brought to him, he says, no matter what they bring me, I'm not going to violate what is clean and pure to me. We were shopping a little bit in Brockport, and I was with Hudson and Sophie. Their view of the world is sometimes eye-opening to me. And, you know, it's just kind of funny. We're walking past, and we were going from one store, we were going for the sneaker store, and we were going down to the other store here, and we had to pass the vape shop, the place. And they're like, Daddy, what's that? I'm like, come on up, you know, and go, stay away from there. And so they were asking me questions. Dad, why do people smoke? I said, I don't know. Do they know it's not good for them? Yeah, they do. I don't know why. I said, because inside of cigarettes, there's a very addictive thing called nicotine. And once you start smoking, it's very difficult to stop. That's why I'm trying to help them, you know, don't ever touch that stuff. Because once you start, it's very difficult to stop. And Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm never going to start. Therefore, it won't be hard to stop. See, what happens is that the world will come and make an offer. Here, try this. But Daniel purposed in his heart long before he ever came by to not partake in the world's delicacies. The best that the world had to offer is but a shadow to the blessings of God. And Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not going to mess with that stuff. See, we ought not to ever sell out for the offers of this world. Gentleman this week gave me a 10-hour volume or 10-hour documentary set of the dangers of rock music, which I agree with. Not good. And a lot of these guys made a pact with the devil and said, I'll take the fame and fortune, you can have my soul. Daniel said, I'm not going to do that. See, those are extreme cases. I understand that. But the offers are still the same. The offer by the world will come by and say, hey, why don't you compromise your beliefs for this? Do not partake in the world's delicacies. If the world is saying this is great, stay away from it. It'll keep you living in the world, but not being of the world. That's what Daniel did. He purposed, before it ever showed up on his table. There's a good chance, somewhere, young person, there's a good chance someone's going to offer you a drink of alcohol. Hey, don't take it. There's a good chance someone's going to say, hey, smoke this. Don't take it. There's going to be a good chance, young man, someone along the way is going to say, hey, let's go watch that. Young lady, there's going to be a good chance somewhere along the way, some guy's going to say, hey, let's go do this. Purpose in your heart today. That when that thing shows up at your table, I'm sorry, I've already made a decision on that. That'll help you live in the world, but not be of it. Thirdly and lastly, number one, be faithful to the faith. Number two, do not partake in the world's delicacies. And number three, see what Lot wanted, Daniel didn't care. Daniel wasn't looking for friends. But Lot wanted to be accepted. There's a great danger in being a men pleaser. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 warns us of that and says, do you know what a person that seeks to please men does? They don't care about the fear of God. They're more concerned about what does he think about me than what does he think about me. And Lot was more concerned about what he thought about me than what he thought. Daniel says, I don't care, you can kill me, toss me in the lion's den, I'm not stopping, because if you kill me, I know where I'm going. Now, our life is not threatened for our faith today, thankfully. But in the same way, we ought to make decisions for the Lord. We ought to be more concerned about what God thinks about our life than what others do. Hey, if you're trying to live your life to please everybody else, you are going to be chasing and never reaching. Daniel had not a friend anywhere. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, contemporaries. But when tossed in the lion's den, who was he there with? By himself. It'd be better to be alone with God than to have a multitude of acquaintances that are pulling you away from the truth. Say, how so? Genesis chapter 19. Go back there. Let's look at our friend Lot. And we're almost done. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5. And they called unto Lot, said, who? The men of the city. Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came to thee this night? They're looking for the angels. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That's just wickedness right there. You understand that? And Lot went out of the door unto them, and you kind of sneak, you've seen that, right? Maybe if you have a dog or something, anybody have a dog and tried to get out without letting the dog or the little kid out? Like you sneak out and close the door behind you. That's what Lot does here. Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, look at this. Look at these next four words. I pray you, and what is that next word? Brethren. Brethren, they're pounding on your door, Lot, demanding that they could know the two men that are in there. My friends, he says. Third point, how do you live in the world but not be of the world? Do not befriend the world. Lot looked to be accepted by all those that were around him. Daniel had no friends anywhere. Lot called the people of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that God was about to rain down fire because of their wickedness. Say they weren't. No, they wanted to, they're just being friendly. They were just trying to get to know these guys. Oh no. Look at verse 7. He says, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Very clear what was going on there. Lot was willing, look at verse 8. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as it is good in your eyes. What on earth are you saying, Lot? What have you done? You've made friends with the world. Daniel is sleeping in the den of lions. And Lot is tossing his daughters to them. Daniel says, I don't care, I'll die alone. And Lot is still trying to make friends and right with the wickedness of this world. Lot was willing to trade his two daughters for the acceptance of the brethren. I grew up in East Irondequoit. Went to Eastridge High School. All in all, not a bad high school. Didn't really have too much trouble. Got saved when I was 10. So 10 would be maybe 4th or 5th grade. Is that about right? How? 5th grade? Is that right? 5th grade? Went through my end of elementary, early junior high, early high school years at Eastridge Public School. So how'd you make it through that, being a Christian? Well, we maintained faithfulness to church on Sunday. My mom was a tyrant. She was 5'2", but she didn't mess around with none of it. And I had no friends at school. Say, that sounds awful. No, it actually protected me. And I mean, I had some acquaintances. But anytime anybody asked me to do anything, I always said no. The answer was always no. The two best friends that I grew up with in leading up to that, they got involved in alcohol really young. Maybe 13, 14, they started drinking, playing football and all that. And that's when our ways parted. Tried to invite them to church a bunch of times. Funny stories that my one friend confused the word prostitute and Protestant. And I invited him to church. He's like, no, I'm a prostitute. I'm like, I think you're looking for the word Protestant. And, you know, you're young, you're trying to talk. But anyways, at Eastridge, I just said no to everything. My 10th grade summer was at First Bible Baptist Church here in Greece. And Lord got a hold of my heart, and I just completely yielded to His will. Started at Eastridge my 11th grade year, and throughout that process, was able to transfer over to North Star Christian Academy. I thought if Lord would allow me, I would like to go to a Christian school because I wanted to serve the Lord with my life. So thankful for coming to our couples dinner is the man that really helped me in the faith, Pastor Richard Shear. Because of his influence in my life, I'd, between him, my mom, maybe a couple others, really am what I am. And I'm thankful for that, thankful for the investment. So there I am, I enter North Star Christian Academy thinking this. Everybody at school here is, well, obviously you're coming to a Christian school, wants to serve the Lord with their life. And I let my guard down. Friends invited me out, and of course, sure, you know, it's Christian school. One night I was spending time at my friend's house. There was a pound at the door. One of our acquaintances was coming in drunk. And I thought, what on earth? I let my guard down for a moment, only to realize that no matter where you go, whether you're at a public school or a Christian school or there's always going to be outside influence. The question was, what was I going to do? Was I going to succumb to the offers that were being placed around me? Or was I going to be a Daniel? What are you going to do? We live in this world. We all agree it's wicked and dark and awful. Does that mean that's how we live? Or can we be a Daniel? Let's not be a Lot. Let's not live a life where we compromise our faith, that we take of the world's delicacies, that we befriend the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the Bible says. We're to reach the world, we're not to love it. The people in it, that's what we're after. We want to tell people about the love of Christ, that they too could see the change, that they too could go from an old creature to a new creature and experience the victory in Christ. There's a lot of commandments in the Bible. We know them. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Say, no, Exodus chapter 20 is where the commandments are. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, our last verse this morning. A commandment. A promise of God, if you will. Be not deceived. Evil communications could corrupt good manners. No, that's not what it says. Be not deceived. Evil communications may possibly corrupt. No, it says that it will. We all are starting out with the, or maybe if you're here today and you have been brought up in the house of Abraham, been brought up in Israel, if you will, and here you find yourself living in Babylon or Sodom, a place that is contrary to who you are. I'm here to warn you, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be careful not to give up on the faith. Be careful to not take the offers of this world. Be careful of who you are looking to please. Lot was more concerned about the people living outside of his door than he did the God of heaven. Daniel was more concerned about what God thought of him than anybody around him. Keep the faith. Never forsake, never give up. Here's two hard words together. Be careful to cut ties. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Maybe you're a young person here today and say, man, why is mom, dad always so strict with me and who I'm hanging out with? Because we know evil communications corrupt good manners. What? Mom, dad, I need a job. It's important. I understand that, but you might not be ready for it. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. It's a promise of God. Let's all stand. Appreciate your patience. See, that was really nice of you to preach the longer message this morning, tonight. You know, the kickoff is at 6:30, and I'd like to get out. We'll do our best. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, like that song we sang this morning, and then I cried, "Dear Jesus, please come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow, Jesus came and brought to me the victory. If you're not saved here this morning, can I encourage you to put your complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Say, "I'm brokenhearted." Perfect. That's, he can work with that. No, what he can't work with is proud heart against him. If you're here this morning and you find yourself living in the world and you don't want to be of it, maybe you come and ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes to see things as they are. Lord, I need your help to keep the faith. I need your help to not take the offers. I need your help to not befriend the world. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. In just a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. If the Lord touched your heart, and we have kind of like a little steps here, if you want to come and pray and talk to the Lord, you can do that if you'd like to pray with somebody. Say, I don't know what I'm doing. I'd like to pray with somebody. All right, well, praise the Lord now. We have people that would be more than happy to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that the things that you spoke to our hearts about, that we would be faithful in talking to you about now. Well, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider the message here this morning. As the music plays, whatever the Lord spoke to your heart about, may you come and talk to him.